Early December, when all the Christmas stations are kind of ramping up, and there was one station in particular that was all Christmas all the time, and so my kids love Christmas music, and so for the entire week that we were there, that's all we listened to was the Christmas station when we were in the car on the radio, and so we were there nearly a week before we heard the first song that said anything about the biblical account of Christmas. Can you imagine Christmas songs for an entire week of Here Comes Santa Claus, Silver Bells, Chestnuts Roasting, Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, wonderful songs, but nothing of the story of Christmas. Family, warmth, joy, gift-giving, celebration, all those things. It was fun, it was nice, it was upbeat. We were rocking in the car, but it was incredibly hollow after some time. You do that for a few days. After a while, what are we singing about? There's nothing to those songs. And without Jesus, let me submit to you that Christmas is truly just celebrating to celebrate. It's filled with nostalgia and happy feelings, but it is completely empty. So let me ask you the question, what are we celebrating and why are we celebrating? So if Christmas is empty by itself, what's the day really about? What's the substance of what we're celebrating today? And to answer that, we've got to look back at those verses that we read out of Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, we see, and I'll just remind you, as Zechariah is saying this about Jesus, that he would give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. And because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to give us, our feet, a way of peace and shine forth and guide us there. And so John the Baptist was preparing the way for Jesus, and Jesus will break into the darkness. And so Jesus declares himself, as we've been saying this entire service, as the light of the world. And so according to Jesus, in his words, what does that make Christmas without him? If he's the light, what does that make Christmas without Jesus? It's not just celebrating to celebrate. Jesus would say it's celebrating in darkness. Fleming Rutledge, an author in her writing on Advent, she said this, "Advent is designed to show the meaning of Christmas is diminished. It's diminished to the vanishing point if we are not willing to take a fearless inventory of the darkness." It's interesting. Luke describes darkness like this. There's people needing forgiveness from sins. He would say there's people in darkness. There's people in the shadow of death. People in turmoil needing peace. That's how Luke would describe the darkness. And Rutledge would say if we diminish that in any way, we diminish the meaning and the point of Christmas. Paul David Tripp, in his devotional New Morning Mercies, he said this, "Everyone was part of the problem. Everyone suffered from the problem, but no one could solve the problem." And that's the problem of darkness in the human heart, that we have defined life in ways outside of how God has made us. And we see darkness all over our world. It's not hard. You turn the news on, you'll see it. You look around, you'll see it. If you're paying attention, honestly, you don't even have to pay much attention to see the darkness of our world. Violence, sickness, disease, broken relationships, racial tensions, abuse, overindulgence, pride, or maybe the suburban version of worst of all, living a life of affluence and success, but still having that nagging turmoil in your soul that you still need more to be satisfied. You need to make another deal. You need to have another experience. You need to go on another vacation. You need to do something else. And when you do it, you still say it's still not enough because it never satisfies the heart. So Christmas without Jesus is similar to wanting God's grace without Jesus. So I want the goodness of God and the blessing of God, but I don't want to make Jesus any part of that. I just want his good gifts. And Tripp goes on to say in his Advent devotional, a different writing, he says, without his, Jesus's, life, death, and resurrection, grace would be a sentiment devoid of any helpfulness. Without the gift of Jesus, grace would be a promise with no power. Without the presence, life, and work of that baby in the manger, there is no light at the end of the tunnel for sinners. He goes on, there is no happy ending for rebels. There's no home waiting for the lost. And there is only darkness, defeat, judgment, and death. Merry Christmas. But I would be no friend to you at all if I made you feel good, if I believed you were in darkness without Jesus and I made you smile about it. I would do you no favor to say, go, be well fed, smile, have a great celebration, but leave Jesus out of it and you'll have a great day. If I think that is the nature of darkness, the Word of God declares that to be darkness, it would be cruel for me to send you out smiling with that as your understanding. Christmas without Jesus is not good news. Instead, real love declares the bad news so that you are able to see your need for better news, and then your eyes are opened, and then you can actually become to the place where you can receive the good news of the light of the world. Because it's until we see our need, until we see that, man, I'm in the right in the middle of this darkness, that I need something outside of me. I need the light to break in. That song that the band just sang of the light of the world waits for a miracle, right? The heart longs for a little bit of hope. We understand what darkness feels like. We kind of walk it every day. Life's not totally working or it's really breaking. And so the chorus is, for all who wait, for all who hunger, for all who've prayed, and I would say longingly, all who wonder, behold your King, King Jesus. Jesus has come as a light into the darkness. He came to give people life, but he came to give people life as your King. So it's not like you get to sit on the throne of your life and then Jesus brings light. That's not how it works. Jesus brings light by you surrendering yourself to him. And what's wild to me is how that happens. Because usually kings show up in pomp and circumstance. Kings show up with trumpet sounds. Kings show up and everybody takes notice. But this king shows up in a little manger, not even in a nice inn, because they're out in the back with the cattle and with the animals, and he is born in relative just obscurity. And so Christmas at its core is truly a story of humility. It's a message that the glory that Jesus rightly had bestowed on him and rightly deserved, he sets that aside and he lowers himself. Christmas is a story of someone of great power and glory setting that aside to come and be helpless. That's the story of Christmas. It's the humility that Jesus expresses. And so in our verses here, it says that the sunrise shall visit us from on high. The one who is the light is the one who's going to break in because of the tender mercy of God. Because God had to break into this world in order to save this world, in order to save his people. He had to become like us. So the one that is the creator becomes the created. Christmas is about the glory of God. It's that glory is shown through his humility. He humbles himself. He makes himself low that we might be saved. But because he entered into the world humbly, that's why people miss him. You know, the angels show up, but they show up to shepherds in the field outside of the city. They make that law, that declaration. It's the humble king coming to set things right. And so we're looking for the angels singing, but they went to the shepherds. And then there's Jesus in the manger. How can that make anything better? How can that bring light to any part of darkness? A little baby in a manger out back of a hotel that they couldn't stay at. Because it is our humility that makes room for the light of the world. It is the humility of Jesus that leads the way for what salvation for us and faith really looks like. That if you think you have everything figured out, then you have no need for him. And you definitely don't have need for anyone else. Because if you've got it figured out, why do you need Jesus? When we're willing to lower ourselves, we're willing to hope that needs can come from outside of us. Our needs will be met from outside of us. We're finally poised to actually find life. And so jump to a couple slides, because Dietrich Bonhoeffer was imprisoned in World War II in one of the Nazi concentration camps. And in his letters and papers from prison, he wrote this. So he wrote this to his fiancée from the walls of a concentration camp. He said, "A prison cell in which one waits, hopes, does various unessential things, and is completely dependent on the fact that the door of freedom has to be opened from the outside is not a bad picture of Advent." What is he saying? He's saying, your hope and my hope is not from inside of me, and it's not from inside of you. It is from outside of you, it is outside of this world, and it has to break into this world and break into your life. Because the story of hope and of freedom can only be opened from the outside. And so in his humility, Jesus becomes like us. And it fuels our humility that in that we reflect on the true meaning of Christmas. Because we're awed at the goodness of God. How do people respond when angels show up or some version of the glory of God is seen? What's the response in all of Scripture? Either they hit the ground, or they shield themselves, or it's not told what they do, but they are obviously afraid. And so when the angels show themselves to the shepherds, what is their first words to the shepherds? Fear not. Why? Because the shepherds realize they are in the presence of something, in the presence of glory, in the presence of God, that they have no right to be there. They have nothing to bring to the table. They can't make themselves acceptable. And that's the human condition. We cannot make ourselves acceptable to God. And when God in his glory shows up, fear wells up in the human heart. But the grace of God says, fear not. Yes, you can't do it on your own. You can't make yourself right before me. But that's why I came to make things right. You know I'm nothing compared to this. You know there's nothing I can do to make myself worthy. There's no way that I have a gift to bring, just like that little drummer boy. What am I going to bring to this king that has everything? And the little boy says, I'm going to play a song on my drum. I have no gift to bring, and the humility of that is the place of the human heart. When we realize that we have nothing to bring to the table, not enough money, not enough skill, not enough status, we become fearful, because we can't make ourselves acceptable. It's then that we hear the beautiful grace of God say, fear not. Fear not, because the one who made everything, the one who has no right to go and die, is going to die for our sins so that we might be made right with him. It's through our humility, following the humility of Jesus, that we bow ourselves before King Jesus, knowing that we have no gift to bring. And it's his grace and his grace alone that allows us to find real and true light in our life. His light breaks into the darkness of this world. It breaks into the darkness of our life when we realize we have no gift to bring and we just hit our face before King Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the real hope of Christmas, that it is not simply in nostalgia or even in family, or even in fun songs that we sing. It is rooted in the light of the world that broke into the dark places. Father, I pray that you would break into the darkness of our hearts, the wandering of our hearts, the places where we just long to know something that would heal, something that would satisfy. Father, I pray for those in this room tonight that, God, are in such angst in their life. Father, they know that maybe even they're wondering, there must be more to life than this. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, would you reveal yourself to them tonight, that there truly is light in the darkness, and it is found in them and me and so many and all of us surrendering and bowing before you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, thank you for sending your Son Jesus into this dark world to become light and to give us life. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.